Hi, this is Darren Rouse from ProBlogger, and today I'm interviewing Richard McManus from ReadWriteWeb.com. ReadWriteWeb is a blog that I've been following for a number of years now, since really it started, I think, back in 2003, and Richard's the founder and editor of that blog, which is pretty widely regarded as one of the best blogs in its niche and one of the best blogs in the world. It's quite often cited as one of the world's top blogs in all of those lists that collate that type of information, particularly in Technorati over the years. So welcome, Richard. It's nice to finally be chatting to you voice to voice after all these years.
Yeah, thanks, Darren. It's great to talk to you. I think you might have started ProBlogger around about the same time as I started ReadWriteWeb. Back in 2003, somewhere along there?
Yeah, I think I started that in 2004, but started sort of blogging on that topic on my personal blog the year before. So, yeah, it's probably around the same time. So it's been really interesting to watch someone in the same part of the world across an ocean to blogging in a sort of similar topic, but taking a different approach.
Yeah, ditto. Yeah, I've certainly been following ProBlogger all those years. So, it's great to finally meet virtually.
Yeah. So perhaps if you could start us off by just talking us through how you first got into blogging and started ReadWriteWeb.
Sure. Well, a bit like you, I started experimenting with blogging before I started up the site. I started, mucking around with blogging around about the 2002 time period. And at that point, I was using a tool called Radio Userland, which is blogging software created by Dave Weiner. And I was also very much following Dave's theories about the web at that point in time. He had a theory called the two-way web, which I was very interested in. And I was also really interested in Tim Berners-Lee's theories about the web. He obviously was the inventor of the web back in the 90s. And he always envisaged the web as being kind of a read-write medium. And the very first browser that he created, which was called World Wide Web, was both a reader and a writer. And so I guess I started around about 2003 just kind of experimenting with blogging. At that point in time, it was kind of an era where lots of people were sort of experimenting with it. The protocols and the standards were in flux at the time. There was a lot of debate about RSS standards, for example. And so I for about a year or so, I just experimented and, mucked around with blogging and reading blogs. And then in April 2003, I officially started ReadWriteWeb. And again, it was a Radio Userland blog at that point in time. And the reason I started it was to analyze web technology at the time and sort of, delve into the trends and all the latest sort of early adopter web technology that was happening at that point in time. And a lot of it was about blogging and about technology around blogging at that time, because that was when things were starting to, to get clarified in terms of standards and so on. So the very early posts about ReadWriteWeb were quite analytical and sort of delved into, the theory of the ReadWriteWeb and the theory of and practice of blogging and sort of how people were beginning to use blogging and reading blogs as a way to get niche information about topics of interest to them.
Great. And so when you started it, was it something that you ever thought could become a business, or was it purely something that was almost an extension of who you were and doing it more for your own reasons?
I would say at that time it was definitely the latter. I was doing it basically at night. I had a day job at the time as a web manager for a company here in New Zealand. And so, but I started ReadWriteWeb because I was kind of, to be frank, I was kind of bored with my job and I wanted to sort of experiment more with technology and explore it a lot more than I can do in my day job. So I started ReadWriteWeb in order to do that and also to reach out to people across the other side of the world in Silicon Valley and elsewhere in America. Because that's where a lot of the interesting stuff was happening in terms of web technology. And one thing I definitely found when I started my blog was that I was able to network with a lot of people, and they didn't really care that I was from the other side of the world. They were just you know, they were just happy to network with me because I was interested in the same topics as them. And that was a very early sort of you know, a very early sort of interesting phenomenon about blogging, was that I could do that from the other side of the world.
It certainly made the world a lot smaller in lots of ways. Have you found any disadvantages of being you're in New Zealand and being away from where the hub of your industry is, I guess, in some ways?
Yeah. Well, there's always been pros and cons to it. I think from the pro side is that being kind of isolated from the main community in the web, which is Silicon Valley, that enabled me to be more analytical in my writing and kind of take a step back and look at the high level trends. I was also writing a lot about, you know, all the early adopter products at that time, but I guess I could you know, I could take a step back and be a little bit more analytical about things because I had that time and that space to do that. The con side is that you know, it would be nice to be located in the valley because I would get, you know, more of the insider information, I guess. But I think there's trade-offs, and definitely, I think Rewrite Web, the way it evolved in its focus on trends and analysis, a big part of that has been the fact that I'm not actually based in the Valley, and that I can actually, you know, I was able to, you know, be a bit more high level, I guess, than other blogs.
Do you get across often?
Yeah, I travel across every few months, and I definitely get my fill of networking and schmoozing whenever I go across. And so that actually works quite well for me because I get across every few months and see everybody and catch up with all the latest gossip and stuff. And then I get back to New Zealand and get back to work, basically. So it works well for me.
Yeah. I find that FaceTime, it just seems to cement relationships, or I can't really describe it, but I know the times that I've been over there, it's often, you know, in the weeks that follow meeting someone face to face that things pick up a bit in that relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely find that too. So I guess it's kind of like a balance for me. I need to obviously get across every few months to do that FaceTime, but then I'm also quite happy to come back home and you know, really put my head down and do work. So
yeah,
that works for me.
Great. So you've expanded your blog. You've got Rewrite Enterprise and Rewrite Start as well. You're running them off the same domain as Rewrite Web. What was the thinking behind expanding in that way? And are you happy with your decision to keep it all on the one domain?
Yeah, well, actually, we actually originally started out doing network blogs as independent blogs. We had a couple of blogs, one called Alt Search Engines and one called Last 100, and they were separately branded. Then we kind of went the other way. So now we've got the Rewrite Enterprise and Rewrite Start. And the reason they're built off Rewrite Web is that we think our brand, you know, the Rewrite Web brand is kind of stands for like, you know, analytical and sort of in-depth coverage. And so we wanted to do the same thing with our brand, but with different niches. So Rewrite Enterprise focuses on more enterprise products and trends. And Rewrite Start is focused towards first-time entrepreneurs in particular. And so they've got the same kind of focus as Rewrite Web in terms of the type of posts we write and you know, the angles that we take, but they're targeted towards a slightly different niche audience, whereas Rewrite Web is more broad and is focused on consumers in general.
And have they taken off? Have your readers sort of come across to check them out, or?
Yeah, we're the enterprise blog has certainly you know, found a niche, and a lot of people that are either developing or closely following the enterprise space, you know, read Rewrite Enterprise to get the latest on the trends and the products in that space. Read Write Start, we've actually just refocused it for 2010. We're still focusing in on first-time entrepreneurs, but we're trying something a little bit different in that we're making it more of a resource rather than a news site. And so we're hoping that entrepreneurs will come to Read Write Start to find out, you know, what's happening, you know, what sort of resources are out there for them, and you know, perhaps create a community out of those people. So we'll see how that goes this year.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. So it's a slightly more how-to tools, that type of thing.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Great. The other thing I noticed in your navigation is you have country channels. You have quite a number of them. Can you tell us what was the thinking behind that, and how you sort of do that? Are they just translations of your best stuff, or are they specifically written content for local audience?
Well, in terms of the content, they're actually a mix. They do a lot of translating of you know, the highlights from readwriteweb.com, but they're also covering their local countries as well. And it kind of started out of Read Write France. That was the first one that launched, and it was actually the initiative of a group of people in France who wanted to do a similar kind of blog to Read Write Web, but targeted to French people and in the French language. And so these are people that, like me and like my writers, are interested in, you know, analyzing the latest trends and the latest products. And so they did the same thing in the French language. And since then, we've had other similar blogs like Spain and Brazil, and we've got Chinese version as well, doing the same thing. So it's it's kind of an experiment at this point, because we're not quite sure if we're going to make much revenue out of this. But in terms of like the high level kind of, I've always thought that Read Write Web was kind of an internationally focused site. In some ways, I think of it kind of like the BBC of tech blogs, because we're not quite so narrowly focused on the Silicon Valley scene. We definitely like look at what's happening all around the world in web technology, and so definitely the country sites kind of play off that brand and that strategy. And we're not quite sure how it's going to work commercially, but definitely it's, you know, an experiment, an evolving experiment we'll see how it goes in 2010.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that more and more bloggers seem to be asking me about, is, you know, whether they should allow others to translate their content, or whether they should control it all and keep it in-house. So it sort of seems like you have retained some sort of control over that, but...
Yeah, well, we definitely, all of the international bloggers are, you know, part of our base camp, which is what we use for project management, and we keep in constant communication. So, I definitely sort of see them as part of the extended team, that's for sure.
That's great. Speaking of your team, you do have quite a large group people on staff or involved in the site. I think on your about page you have something like 13 people there. Do you have any advice for bloggers wanting to transition from being a single author blog to a multiple author blog? It's something that I guess you've gone through over the last, well, 6 or so years. Any general advice in that?
Yeah, I think the key is to have like a brand that's differentiated, and, you know, stay focused on your core brand. I mean, Read Write Web has always been a quality content provider. You know, we focus a lot on quality, more so than we do on quantity. And that's been our key differentiator in the marketplace of tech blogs. And so we focus on, you know, thoughtful analysis of technology trends. And people like, you know, I think our audience kind of really appreciates that angle. Chris Brogan actually really recently tweeted something really nice about Read Write Web. He said it was the place to go to stay ahead of the technology trend curve, and it was very nice of him to say that. And I think that kind of captures what our brand is about. And so that kind of focus has given us the ability to grow faster, I think, than perhaps other blogs have done in this space. doing something different in really sort of doing something that your audience kind of appreciates and can can get behind. And so that would be my main advice, just to not sort of copy what other people are doing, but try and do something different and build a user base from that. And that basically allows you to grow your staff and your revenue if you do that.
Hmm. Do you have any, like you mentioned Basecamp before as a way of sort of collaborating amongst your staff? Is that something that sort of is at the core of what you do with your team?
Yeah, it's definitely been a key tool for us because it enables us all to kind of stay on the same page and to manage projects. And because there's now a relatively large number of people on the team, in comparison to a few years ago, it is key to have an online tool that is able to track tasks and projects rather than try and handle it all on email or by phone or whatever. So yeah, Basecamp has definitely been a key tool for us.
Yeah. We had a couple of people when I tweeted that I was interviewing you wanting to ask, what was that transition like? Not in a technical aspect, but for you personally. I presume you started your blog, and like all bloggers, we have certain ideas about what we want on our blog, and then adding to a team is, for some bloggers, a real challenge on almost a personal level.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, first off, is that all of the bloggers that we've hired have kind of been interested in covering technology in the same way that I used to do when I first started it, which is more analytical and in depth. So that's one thing. But the other thing is, I've just basically learned as I went, how to manage people and how to manage a business. And and one of the important things I had to learn how to do was how to delegate things, because I used to, when I first started, basically do everything by myself. And when it first started to become a business, I used to sell all the ads, and I used to do design stuff on the site and so on. And that's just impossible for me to do nowadays, and I wouldn't want to do that anyway, because I need to stay focused on what I originally got into blogging to do, which is to write and to explore technology. So it's been a gradual evolution for me personally, as well as for the business. And it's definitely been challenging to trying to juggle doing the business things and growing and doing blogging as well. But I've definitely really enjoyed the ride.
That's great. Your blog is, I think it's ranked in the 2000s on Alexa at the moment. Obviously, it's getting some fairly significant traffic. Any tips for getting that first rush of traffic, or has it been a rush for you? Was it a very gradual thing? Just really interested, because this is the number one thing that I'm asked whenever I survey my readers on what they want to learn is, how do I get those first readers? How do I get over that bump of having more than just my family read it?
Mm. Yeah, it wasn't like a sudden thing. It was definitely a gradual thing over time. There were a couple of tipping points, I guess. One was when Web 2.0 became popular in the mainstream. Time magazine named it as trend of the year or person of the year at one point. And so, like, Read Write Web was blogging about Web 2.0 before there even was a Web 2.0. And I think that's key, is to be one of the first, or be one of the, if you're not the first, then doing something different with your topic, something that other people aren't doing. And that is I think it's an important way to attract readers, because nobody wants to read what everybody else is doing. It takes time, though. That's the other thing. I think a lot of bloggers think they can just start up a professional blog and earn money straight away, but it definitely takes quite a while to ramp it up to a point where you're able to earn decent revenue from it. So in some ways, I'd even almost suggest that people, even if they've got the goal to turn into a professional blog, at least when they're starting it, do it out of a passion for the topic and really try and do something different. in some ways, don't worry about like the revenue or how many readers you've got to begin with, but build up a solid amount of content first, and reach out to your network and tweet a lot and so on. But it definitely takes time.
I don't want to get into too many specifics on it, but where does your traffic come from? Is it sort of a mix of Google, Twitter, loyal readers?
It's all of those. We get a lot of traffic to our homepage. It's far and away the most popular page on the site, and so we get a lot of like repeat visitors every day coming to rewriteweb.com and seeing what's new on the site and looking for things to comment on and so on. Google has also been important, and Google is actually it is the number one referrer, and I'm sure that's true of many other blogs as well. It hasn't been. I mean, we haven't like hit many sort of Google gold mines like some of other blogs have, but it certainly does pretty well for us. And of course, the social sites like Dig and Twitter and Facebook and TechMeme, those are all sites that have driven traffic to us over the years as well.
Yeah. Have you noticed a change? I've been talking to a lot of bloggers, and they seem to be looking at Twitter, because so many people now are sharing links on Twitter and they're not blogging as much. There just seems to be this bit of a change in the environment at the moment, particularly around search traffic as well, because people are sharing links on Twitter and not on their blogs, so you're not building as fast on your Google ranking. Have you noticed that type of change, any impact on Red Right Web?
Well, Twitter has obviously been big for us, just like it has for our competitors. I definitely have seen that it's there have been a lot more people sort of linking to our thing, to our stuff via Twitter instead of via their own blogs. I've definitely seen that. But also I've seen like there's a lot more people actually like linking to things and commenting about our content on Twitter than there used to be, because I think it's just because Twitter is such an easy tool to use, and it's obviously brought a lot more people into the write aspect of the Read Write Web, because they're able to like contribute to the web without having their own blogs. So that's been a factor as well, I think.
Yeah, you've got over 1 million Twitter followers. How did that happen?
Well, there are a couple of big things. One, I think, is that we're just like an interesting technology source, and I think people want to follow Read Write Web because we tweet about and write about the trends and the latest products and so on. The other big thing, of course, has been that we're on the suggested user list of Twitter, which is for people not familiar with that. It just means it's we're one of the default accounts on Twitter when new people sign up to it. And, everybody knows that that's inflates people's Twitter follower numbers by quite a lot being on that list. I did read that post by Anil Dash the other day, and where he says that, it's impossible for people to really have more than 1 million followers. And that's certainly true, it's been a similar case to like RSS readers. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of blogs were the default blog, default feeds and RSS readers, and that hugely made their RSS subscriber numbers really huge as well. So similar kind of thing, I think.
I guess it must help on some level with some social proof when people look at it and think, well, you've got over 1 million, but yeah, there must be a lot of very inactive Twitter accounts out there that are a part of that total. So yeah,
I definitely would see a lot of people would sign up to Twitter and perhaps not quite know what to do with it. Mm. And I guess you've got to take those numbers with a grain of salt.
That's right. How do you use Twitter? Are you using it more for broadcasting or interacting with readers?
We retweet all of our like stories. It's another channel for like people to see what we're blogging about every day. Mm. But I also make the point of quoting stuff from our stories and like commenting on our stories and commenting on other people's stories as well and other things that I find around the web that are interesting in the web technology space. And I also like try to personalize it a little bit with some personal stuff as well, which may not be of broad interest, but if I'm listening to a piece of music that I like, I might tweet that, just to give it the personal flavor, because I think that's really important with Twitter.
Yeah, that's sort of how I approach it as well. I found that if you're too much on topic, that people start to suspect that it's just a bot and
right,
yeah, just pumping out content.
Yeah, well, I mean, I personally love using Twitter, and I like follow a bunch of lists, and I follow a bunch of trends using Twitter, not necessarily about technology. And so I think it's just a great tool to use. And so, I try and use it in a lot of different ways.
You're on Twitter, you're at RWW. Have you ever thought of starting at Richard McManus or splitting off and having a personal account, or do you?
Well, I don't at the moment. I have thought about it. I'm just worried about, because I'm so time constrained already. I'm just worried about doing two accounts. But also, I like the fact that at RWW is kind of like has some of my personality in there as well, because the blog started around me writing, and so I like to sort of inject some of my own sort of personality into the Twitter feed too.
What other social media tools are you using with your blog, or is it just Twitter?
The whole team uses a whole bunch of tools. We use Facebook a lot. We've got our own Facebook page, which is facebook.com/readwriteweb. We use a lot of tools like Dig and StumbleUpon and TechMeme and a whole bunch of iPhone apps. I wouldn't know where to start really on those, but because we write about these kind of technologies every day, we kind of tend to use a lot of tools and experiment with a lot of tools as well.
Yeah. Is it a challenge to work out which ones to concentrate on? I know a lot of bloggers are just feeling totally overwhelmed by it.
Yeah. Well, in some ways, it's also like, like FriendFeed, for example, that was really big sort of the middle of last year, and everybody was using FriendFeed. And nowadays, not so many people are using it. And I've noticed my own usage of FriendFeed has definitely dropped off the last month or two. And I've kind of, started using other tools like, I'm sort of doing a lot of stuff in Google Reader again now. And yeah, I guess it's kind of goes in waves. And speaking of which, Google Wave was another one that I sort of played around with for a while. And I've sort of gone off from now, but I'll probably go back to it at some point in the near future.
Yeah, I've kind of gone off it myself a little bit. I'm not quite sure what to use it for.
Me too.
I think it'll develop into something interesting.
Yeah.
Let's move just to monetization a little bit. How is ReadWriteWeb mainly monetized?
At this point in time, it's mainly monetized by advertising. We both sell our own adverts in terms of sponsorships, and we also work with FM Publishing as our advertising supplier. And we've also just last year started to go into two other directions. One is premium reports. We've now released three of those, and so that's a growing revenue stream for us. And another one is events. We ran our first event last year about the real-time web. That was in Mountain View in California in around about October. And so we've started to, do things like that to diversify our revenue stream. So in 2010, we're hoping to, ramp up on the reports side and the event side as well.
Great.
But online advertising will continue to be our main source of revenue for quite a while, I think.
Any tips for bloggers wanting to sell ads directly to advertisers? I know a lot start with AdSense, and their goal is to cut out the middleman and really take 100% of that revenue. Any tips on getting sponsors?
Yeah, I think the brand is really key when it comes to selling your own adverts, and you've got to have like a unique and a strong brand that you can sell to advertisers and say that, you know, Redwright Web represents thoughtful, thoughtful, influential people who can make purchasing decisions about information technology. And we've actually analyzed our own readers based on tools like Crowd Science and FM publishing stats and so on. And we found that, a good portion of our readers have, have the ability to make purchase decisions for information technology, or they're highly educated, and that they use the internet a lot. And so just as, if you're starting a blog or growing a blog, try and focus on what type of readers you have and, what your brand represents, and sell those things to advertisers.
Great. Have you noticed a decline in the ad space over, the last year? A lot of bloggers are talking about it, and then others are saying they haven't noticed any decrease at all. Any thoughts on that?
Our revenue actually grew last year. Our site grew as well. But it definitely was challenging for a few months. Was that when the economy was down, it was certainly a challenge. So, but I think it's beginning to, bounce back now. And I think 2010 will be a lot more positive for online advertising than 2009.
I noticed in the niches that I'm working in that advertisers were telling me that their overall budgets were decreasing, but that they were putting more into the online space. So perhaps we didn't feel it quite as much as other mediums.
Yeah, I think it could be true.
So with your reports, well, your premium reports, you've done three now. What were some of the challenges in putting those together?
I think probably the main challenge is it's really resource intensive to actually create the reports. Our reports were the first one was on online community management, and the third one on the real-time web. Those two in particular were took a lot of work for us to create those reports, and quite long, about 60 to 75 pages long, and there's a lot of in-depth information in them. And so I guess that's one of our challenges for this year, is to is to find a way to make revenue out of this, because they do take a lot of resources and expenses to create.
Yeah, so any tips for bloggers on going that route with reports or I guess products? It doesn't need to be a report, it could be an ebook or a how-to type resource as well.
I think it's pretty much the same as advice as for blogging, is to to find something that your competitors or other people aren't doing, and to do it really well. Like if you want to get into premium reports, then find something that perhaps other people, other reports haven't covered off very well, or haven't covered off in depth, and do that, and just see how it goes. But I mean, for us, we're definitely still on the learning phase of this at this point in time. So I guess if people do have like secrets to success, then let me know as well.
Yeah. I'll sell you a report on that, Richard.
Yeah, good idea.
With the event, I'm really fascinated in that. That must have been a bit of a challenge doing an event in another country. And do you have people locally, I presume, who helped you to organise that? Was that something you outsourced in that way?
We managed it in-house, but we hired a couple of people. Kalia Hamlin was our presenter of the event, and she had a big part in organizing it as well. And we had a project manager based in Silicon Valley, Chloe Kevinis, and Chloe did an amazing job, getting everything together for us on the ground in Silicon Valley. I would definitely recommend sort of hiring somebody in the local area where you're holding the event to actually project manage it.
And what sort of turn up did you get at that?
We got about it was in the unconference format, so we purposely didn't create a huge, great big thing. But we got 300 people. But what we were most happy about was the quality of the people that came. We just got a really high-end, influential, you know, audience to that conference, and the discussions that we had on that day, because it was in the unconference format, which basically means that people get into groups and discuss certain topics, and then sort of all come back together at the end and discuss the takeaways from each particular topic. Mm. And so we found that just due to the quality of the people we had and the amount of, you know, entrepreneurs and sort of people that active in the space that the conference was on, which was on the real-time web, that it was just amazingly successful in terms of the content and the networking. And so we're definitely going to do more of those kind of events in 2010.
Mm. And are you looking at doing other types of events as well, or is that the type of format that you really are sold on?
Well, I think the unconference format really suits our brand really well, because it's about thoughtful and analytical and you know, people discussing these trends and not just being presented to. And, you know, of course, Read Write Web itself is all about, you know, the two-way web and people like being able to discuss things and talk about things rather than just having stuff presented at them. And so we just think it's a really, you know, the unconference format is just really closely aligned to our brand. And so we're definitely going to focus on that.
You must get pitched a lot. How do you deal with the volume? I know in my space I get a lot of pitches, but I can imagine in someone who's covering the news that you must get even more.
Yeah, we just try and channel all of the pitches to our writers. We've got an email address, tips@readwriteweb.com, which we encourage PR people and startups to use, because that address goes to all of our writers and you know, and we just figure out who does the story from there. But I also get personally pitched a lot, and some of our writers do as well. But it actually makes me feel guilty because I can't reply to everything. It's just impossible. So people probably, especially nowadays when I'm so busy on the business side, you know, if startups and so on are listening, I just encourage them to use the tips address, because that's the best chance of a response, I think.
Great. You're in a unique position in some ways that you are a blogger and a publisher, but you're also covering a lot of tools and the space. So where do you see things headed for publishers going forward as we head into this new year?
Yeah, well, I think just over the last year, we've obviously had kind of a sea change in the publishing world, with Twitter and Facebook growing so much and basically changing the way people consume information and produce it as well. So I think this year, I think we'll start to see more tools that enable people to process information better, you know, whether that be tools that filter information. We had a great discussion on a recent post that I wrote about RSS readers. In that post, I noted that, you know, I personally use RSS readers less these days, just because a lot of stuff comes through Twitter in particular. Mm. But the discussion on that post was amazing, and it showed that, like, people are still using RSS readers, but for a very different in very different ways. And there are a few new tools that have come out just recently that enable people to consume information and news in a different way. For example, there's one called My Sixth Sense, which is an iPhone app, and that basically filters information coming in from your Google Reader and from Twitter, and tries to basically predict what you want to read.
Great.
And so I think we'll start to see more tools like that, which intelligently filter information and make it easier for people to consume all this information that's out there, because there's just so much of it out there that it's hard to know where to start a lot of times.
Mm.
And another thing which I think will probably happen over the next year or two is that, like, we've seen another trend I've been investigating is the rise of content farms. Mm. And companies like Demand Media in Suite 101, and a whole bunch of them are just producing thousands and thousands of pieces of new content every day, and it's just swamping the web with so much information. And Google, I think, is struggling to like to rank all this stuff now, and it's getting harder and harder to find quality information. So Google will rise to that challenge, that's for sure. But there might also be different ways that people discover news that, and Google itself is actually experimenting with different types of tools and services where people can find information in ways other than search. So that's something to watch as well.
What is next for Read/Write Web with all that in mind? Is it more of the same, or are you changing your focus? Or obviously, events and your publications are a part of that.
I think for us it's continuing to build and extend on our core brand. Our blog, readwriteweb.com, is now well established as the place to go to find out about emerging trends and web technology. And we'll continue to do that and maybe start a little more main blog. But we also want to extend that brand and strategy into things like reports and events and channels as well. Things like Read Write Start is one of our channels at the moment, so we'll probably do more of those in the coming year too.
Have you ever thought about adding a community area to that domain?
We have. I guess the challenge there is there's so many existing places where communities already develop, like on Facebook and Twitter, and it's in many ways for us it's more about tapping into to those communities and making sure that Read Write Web is in those places and trying to tap into that.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, is to go in and be involved where it's already happening rather than replicate it. Okay. So, just lastly, any last tips for bloggers? Pro bloggers read by bloggers, similar sort of stage to you, right through to people who are about to start. Any sort of general tips, particularly for those starting out, who are really trying to get their foot into this game?
I mean, my number one tip has always been this, which is just to just be passionate about what you're blogging about, and make sure it's a topic that you really enjoy and that you really want to explore, because that enthusiasm and that passion really does show out to readers. And I know, as the reader myself, I always love to read content from people, even if I've got just 2 readers or 2 million readers. What a spectrum! I always just love reading content by somebody who's really passionate about a topic, and who really, you can tell that they enjoy writing about the stuff. And so I would just say to go out there to enjoy writing about it, and of course try and make it a business if you can, but don't lose that passion.
Great. Thanks for your time today, Richard. It's been really fascinating to hear a little of the story behind your great blog. People can find you at readwriteweb.com and at RWW. Anywhere else they can find you, or?
Well, maybe facebook.com/readwriteweb, but those are the 3 main things, I think.
Great. So hopefully everyone will be subscribing to those, and we look forward to seeing where Read Write Web goes in 2010. Thanks for your time
Yeah.
today.
Thanks, Darren. It's a pleasure talking to you.